We want to talk a little bit more today about the story of Moses, the story of God's people and how God redeemed them from slavery. And the story of Jesus tells us the ways that God is at work redeeming the world even today. They're both stories of the great power of God, the power to change hearts and minds of people everywhere. And that's why we repeat these stories to each generation. You know, the Bible tells us that God says to us, don't just leave these in a book somewhere and forget about them. Tell these stories to your children and your grandchildren because there's so much power in them. And it gives you the strength and the power and the knowledge on how to live as God's people who've been set free. God loves all his creation and he wants us to know it. And you know, the most famous Bible verse in the Bible is from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And then it says this, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn us all, but to save us all through his son, Jesus. And since the time of Adam and Eve, God has been working constantly to set us free from all of the things that hold us in bondage or slavery, that sort of have power over us. Every person, religious or not, worships something, idols, pseudo saviors. And that's how we try to find our own self-worth, but it doesn't really work. But these things enslave us with guilt if we fail to attain them, or anger if somebody blocks them from us, or fear if they're threatened, or maybe drivenness because we feel like we have to have them. Guilt, anger, fear, drivenness are like fire that destroys us. Sin is worshiping anything but God, but Jesus. And the wages of sin is slavery. And you don't want to be in slavery, you want to be set free. In today's Bible reading from Exodus, we get this glimpse into the lives of the people of Israel who were living in slavery in Egypt. And now they were walking through the wilderness, learning how to live as free people. Now, this is a story of how one Hebrew child, who became known as Moses, which means drawn from the water, was saved from death by Pharaoh's daughter. And of course, Moses became the one who brought God's saving power to the people, to the Hebrew people. Moses is raised as the son in Pharaoh's palace. For 40 years, he's a prince of the Pharaoh. But the Hebrew blood in his veins just can't be denied. And Moses has such deep empathy for the children of Israel who are slaves of Egypt that one day, to stop a Hebrew from being beaten by an Egyptian, he kills the Egyptian. And Moses had used his own power, his own moral judgment, in order to try to save one Hebrew person. But really, he is the forerunner who is going to be used by God to save the whole nation. One human being acting alone can't save a nation, but God can. So before he could learn more about how he was going to do that, or even that God was calling him to that, Moses has to get out of Egypt because he's a wanted man. And he's come to the point in his life where he had a new understanding of who he really is and who God is and what freedom is all about. So God leads him into the wilderness. And it's at this point that we're introduced to another character in the Bible that has incredible importance to all people all through time. This is a formidable character who can give life to some, kills others, and will be the source of identity for all who discover this character. The character that I'm talking about is the wilderness. And just think for a moment of how important the wilderness is in the story of people everywhere. Moses left Egypt and ran away to Midian. And Midian is in the wilderness, far away from the luxuries that Moses had known in the palace, far away from the power and wealth that he once possessed. And he becomes a shepherd, from a prince to a shepherd. Genesis 46:34 tells us that every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. So he'd gone from great esteem to just the lowliest of the lowly. And Moses lives in the desert with his new family for the next 40 years. And during this time, the wilderness forms him. It changes him. It allows him to begin to understand what it means to be a follower of Yahweh. To give you an understanding of this mindset, the mindset that he was in when he first went out to the wilderness, he names his first son Gershom, which literally means, I have become a foreigner in a foreign land. And that's what all of us need to learn at some time in our lives. Life and value and meaning don't come from submitting to pleasures and dreams of the world. It comes from knowing that at the center of life is God, and that it's through that relationship with God that we find truth, meaning, purpose in life. How would you feel if you'd been born in a palace and had that power and wealth, had all your desires met? Servants would bow to you and call you great. You would eat the finest food, drink the best wine. Your hands were soft, not calloused, like the slaves who did the hard work. And then one day you fall from grace and discover your home is now the wilderness. You lose your security, the security that made you feel powerful and important. You lose your idols, the things that you worshiped that gave you security. You feel that whatever was your God has deserted you, and now you wonder why. And as you spend that time in the wilderness, you discover the amazing wisdom that there is to be found. You look at life from a new perspective. And that's true for us today. It's in wilderness experiences that you go through that you can, if you will listen to God's voice, discover who you really are, what really matters in life, who you are and what you're called to do. This wilderness experience is for everyone, but not everyone has to be in the actual wilderness for 40 years like Moses, but it is necessary for all of us. It doesn't need to be a physical wilderness. It can be a place of the mind. It could be that during COVID, you're in a wilderness. Everything has changed and you're wondering what's going on in your life. You may be thinking, it was so much better before COVID. I felt secure. I had control. Life was perfect back then. If only we could go back. But being in the wilderness is a place where we grow and where we learn. It's how we learn to see there's a better way, and it's learning really to follow what God is saying to us. When you find yourself in the wilderness, you need to look carefully inside, carefully at what God is saying to you as you look at your life and think about it. Jesus experienced the wilderness. Matthew records that in the very beginning of his ministry, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. We all get led to the wilderness from time to time. There, Jesus had a lot to think about life and about what it means to serve the one true living God. And you may find the wilderness a difficult place. You may wonder why anybody needs to go and have this wilderness experience. Well, Jesus knew the depths and darkness of spending time in the wilderness. It lasted 40 days, 40 days of fasting, 40 days of testing. This is amazing. You need to know that when you're in the wilderness, Jesus, your Savior, is not only walking with you, but he's walked that same path too. And Jesus didn't grumble or complain when he went into the wilderness. It was just a necessary part of human formation. And whether you think about it or not, we're all being formed by one influence or another. Some people get stuck in the wilderness. They grumble and they complain. If you know people who are only grumbling and complaining about their circumstances, pray for them that they might hear God calling to them. They may be still hanging on to the idols of their lives. They may be still hanging on to their own ego and not realize that actually more than their own ego, their own self-esteem, they need to allow God to be the center of their lives. Some people say, why? Why should I have to spend that time in the wilderness? Why can't God just teach me through his word? Why can't he speak to me in my dreams and my prayers and through the Bible? Well, the truth is that God is always speaking to you and to me. He's always calling you and me. But we get busy. We shut things out of our lives. We shut God's voice out of our lives. We become addicted to all sorts of other things. We forget who created us and who died for us. We all sin. We all do things that push God out of our lives. And when we push God away, that's what sin is. There are some things that can only become real to us in the wilderness. One of them is holiness. Now, probably you don't go around each day thinking, I'm trying to become more and more holy each day. People today might think that that was just very strange. But you see, God actually is calling you to be holy. He says, he wants you to be holy. And it's an extremely difficult task to make sinners holy, because sinners are the ones who aren't listening to God or working toward God and listening. A holy person isn't somebody who gets everything right, who has all of the problems of life sorted out, who does everything well. That's a person who's living under an illusion that they can, through their own plan, strength, accomplish everything that they need by their own power. Those who are holy recognize that they need God to be the center of their lives. Those who are holy know that nothing they could do would make them whole or holy. We learn and begin to practice these things in the wilderness. It's our struggle with our ego. It's about learning to be obedient to God instead of just to ourselves. So holiness is one thing that we learn in the wilderness. Second, the wilderness frees us from the illusion that if we work really, really, really hard, we can earn God's grace and favor. In Egypt, Moses tried to save an Israelite man, and in a very sort of I did it my way kind of attitude, an Egyptian died. After spending time in the wilderness and working in Midian, God speaks to Moses through the burning bush, and God calls to Moses and he says, "Save the Israelites." Do you remember what Moses' response was? He says to God, "Well, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" You see, he's no longer that cocky prince who says, "Don't worry, God, I've got this one. I can do everything. I can be your superhero." Now he's the shepherd who's realized that without God, he has nothing. The shepherd who's asking God, "Who am I to do this job?" And it's only through the Lord's power, the Lord's strength, the Lord's plan, he realizes that he can accomplish anything. And that's a powerful place for each of us to come to. The reality is, we are an utterly needy people. And that's why the gospel is so amazing. Paul wrote, "While we were still weak, at just the right time, God died for the ungodly." We're never in a more dangerous place than when we forget how desperately we are and need God's grace. Listen again to what Paul has to say about this. He says, "To keep me from becoming conceited, a thorn was given me in the flesh. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest in me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weakness, with insults and hardships and persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then I'm strong." The wilderness shows us our weakness, but it also reveals the grace of God, the strength of God, the one who's sufficient for all of us. And that's true freedom. When we stop trusting in just of ourselves and start to trust in the creator of all of the universe. And then one more thing, in the wilderness, we discover freedom. Freedom from our addictions, our self-interest, freedoms from all of those things that become our little gods in our lives, where we begin to see that we can let go of our false idols. That's anything that takes God's rightful place as our Lord and Creator. Whatever keeps us from having God at the center of our lives is sin. And in Exodus, Moses discovers that through his wilderness experience, that he needed to stop trusting in his own power, in his own wisdom, his own strength, and allow God to be the center. In today's reading from Exodus, the people of God are about to enter the wilderness and go through the wilderness, and they've received their freedom, but they haven't received a way to be guided in this new life. They don't know what it's like to live in freedom. They have witnessed God's power, but they haven't learned to listen to God, to be obedient to God. They haven't learned how to be God's people. And so their reaction is that they grumble, they complain. What did they say? In Exodus 16, they said this to Moses and to God, If only we had died at the hand of the Lord in Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. So even though they'd been set free, they didn't know how to handle this freedom. And it was scary to them. And trusting in God was scary to them as well. They didn't know how to do that. So they said, well, let's just go back to the old way, where we knew what was happening to us. And they make up this illusion about how they had everything that they needed to eat and life was so much better. And you might be grumbling today. You might be saying, the old life, which I had, was much better. I don't like this place where I am in the wilderness. I would rather serve my old idols than face what God is calling me to. That's what the people of Israel were like. They complained about what God had done to save them, and they said they were better off in the old days. They needed to grow. They needed to go into the wilderness to learn about God's love, God's provision for them. Use that word again. They needed to know about God's grace poured out on all of us. So what was God's reaction? Did he say, okay, fine, I'm sending you back to Egypt and you can be slaves there and the heck with you? No. He gave them what they needed. He gave them manna. Manna to feed their minds, manna to feed their bodies, manna to feed their soul. It was a kind of bread. And he gave them meat to eat and he nourished them. He gave them time to see and to reflect on his amazing grace so that they would recognize God, who God is, and that they would know of his amazing love for us all. You and I are called into the wilderness to discover what God is like. We're called to discover his grace. We think that we learn of God's grace, his favor, his blessing by hard work, that if we work hard enough, we can earn it. But you know, in the parable of the landowner, which we had skillfully read to us earlier today, we learn about God's grace. The vineyard is the story of God the vineyard in the story represents Israel. The landowner is God. There was work to be done. The landowner was concerned that he had enough people to carry out the work that needed to be done. So he goes in person at dawn to contract workers. And the workers' hours are right. They're from dawn to sunset. That was pretty standard. The wages are right. In fact, a bit generous, a denarius, the generous amount of pay for a farm worker's labor. And those who are eager to work are there at the marketplace, equivalent to our modern day job center early in the morning. They're ready to do the work that needs to be done. Three surprises happen in this story of work. The first surprise, the employer really cares about all the down and outs. He goes in person at dawn, but several times throughout the day, he goes again. And each time he meets with them and he sees that they're in need of money for a meal and they're increasingly hopeless and he cares about them. And he wants to give them work and reward. So he's an unusual employer that he's more concerned about his employees than actually the job. The second surprise is that he pays them all out at the end of the day. Well, no surprise there, but he gives each one of them a full day's pay. The last, who've only worked 1 hour, are paid exactly the same as those who work the whole day. Such an amazing, generous employer. Like what happened in the story that Britt and Eve were talking about with the chocolate bars. Then there are complaints because the employer's generosity was so great. Why should those who have worked only 1 hour get the same pay as me? They said, I worked the whole day under the heat of the sun. And Jesus replies, friend, and that his use of the word friend there should make us take notice because it's only used three times in Matthew, that word for friend. And it's always used when the person has done the wrong thing. So here is the employer, and he says, friend, let me show you the contract that you signed for employment this morning. How much was it for? Let me ask. Oh yeah, one denarius. I know you'll agree that that's a generous amount. And a good wage for a day's work, wouldn't you agree? Are you asking in the name of justice that I break the contract that you willingly entered into? You know, far from being unfair, the employer was being generous. and displays uncalled for generosity to the latecomers. So who's going to complain about that? Well, the disciples might have. We've given up everything to follow you. So why are these newcomers getting the same rewards as us? Church members of long standing might complain. Why are these young folks getting all of the rewards that we get and we worked all our lives? To one and all, the parable represents a firm rebuttal. Your standing in the kingdom of God doesn't depend on what you've done, on how hard you've worked. No, it depends on God's grace, on God's favor. His contract with you is what he'll give you, which is your new life. He will give you love. He will set you free. You and I could never do enough good work to earn God's free gifts. They're given because God is good and God is generous. The whole idea of merit goes out the window. Those who grumble are the ones who still have the idea that they should get more because they worked for the reward. But God says, no, this is all a free gift. Any work you do out of a relationship of love because you just want to do it. But those who follow Jesus accept the free gift of eternal, abundant, glorious life. In the wilderness, the people complained against God because they wanted a reward for following Yahweh. God rewarded them generously with manna, with bread to sustain them and give them life. They all were rewarded equally. And in the wilderness, they learned what Proverbs chapter 5 teaches us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. God will bless you and reward you. God loves you. Let's just take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks that you are so generous, that you bless us all. And even when we grumble and complain, you're there still trying to show us the power of your love, the power of your wisdom, your strength in our lives. Help us to make you the center of our lives. Help us to acknowledge your power and give us hope all through this COVID time and all through the future. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.